Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I'm so glad to be back here live with you. Last week, I pray that you enjoy the rebroadcast of The Point of Contact. That message is still resonating within my heart, and I pray that it was a blessing to you. And I just thought it was a good idea to share it with all the church that perhaps didn't have a chance to see that God moment that we stepped into at the Potter's house. Today, I have a word for you that I cannot wait to share. And before I do that, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. You guys have always been the first responders, have always been on the front line, and you're absolutely an incredible and amazing people. We thank God for all of the mothers out there holding it down, making it happen, doing all those little things to make life easier and better for children and for families. And so we thank God for all of you. I pray that you enjoy your day. I pray that you're relaxed somewhere. I pray that you got spa treatments and gifts and presents are being showered and all those wonderful things. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. For those of you who are concerned or have questions about when the church will return, we're working on it. Thank you so much for your patience. We appreciate that. We were going to open in May 2nd, but we did have some unforeseen circumstances that did not allow us to be able to do that. And so we are back at the drawing table, and I promise you that we will make sure we continue to communicate with you and let you know when there will be some semblance of a return. But rest assured, we will be back. And we're looking forward to seeing you when that happens. Until then, we'll continue to declare the word of the Lord to you virtually. And we'll do it when we return, because I don't think we're ever going back to completely and totally normal, because people are choosing when and how they want to engage and get the word of God to them simply on demand. And so that's all well and fine, and we thank God for that. I want to take you to the word of the Lord this morning. I want to take you to the psalm. I want to take you to Psalm 107, and I want to pick this up in the latter part of the psalm. And what I want you to understand before we jump into the reading of this psalm is to give you some context of the psalm itself. When you step into Psalm 107, you're stepping into a reflection. You're stepping into the intersection between gratitude and grief. It is a people who have seen the Lord deliver them time and time again. And this is a reflection of the ways and the spaces and the places in which God had delivered them. And namely, it is really them reflecting on what it was like going from exile and returning back to Jerusalem. And it is the return portion of this scripture that I want to talk with you about. And so when we step down into Psalms 107 and enter into the 23rd verse, we're entering into the return. They're going back to Jerusalem. They're coming out of Babylonian captivity, out of exile. And I believe as a metaphor today, we can use this particular scripture to help us to understand what a return is going to look like. And I want to preach to you from that platform, from that place, from that position, because we are returning to something, but what we are returning to is not normal. And I need you to understand that in order for you to return to where you're about to show up next, that there are some caveats, there are some principles, there are some things that I want you to glean and I want you to hone and I want you to have, so that when you do return, you can do it and see the wonders of the Lord working in your life. Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. The Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind. I want to say that one more time. For he commands and raises the stormy wind. which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I just love that passage of scripture, and I love the Psalms themselves. But this particular one is packed with powerful principles that I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants us to learn today. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity, this set apart time that you have reserved for us to hear a word from you. Father, we know that we cannot make it. We cannot go on. We cannot take another step without a word. It is the direction that we need in order to take the next step. And since our steps are ordered of you, Father God, we pause for this second, for this Sabbath, for this moment of rest to hear about the next step. Father, speak such a word to us today that it will give us that clarity that we need. Speak a word that will cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch our heart so it's open to receive the word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. And of course, the most important thing is that you accomplish what you want to do today. I am nothing but a vessel. So anoint me in this moment. Season every word that I say, that it can be life to the hearer. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in advance, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There is a certainty that you and I have to come to in this moment. That certainty that I speak of is the reality that we're all in. That reality is that we are returning to life, but we're not returning to life as normal. There has been a disruption, whether we like it or not. Whatever theory you have around the disruption, life as we know it has changed and will continue to change. And so as we've come to this place, we come to this place that is really the intersection of gratitude and grief. It is the gap. It is this somewhere between two nowheres. I know where I've been, but I might not know where I'm going. And now I'm stuck in the middle of this space. It is this space that most of us say we want out of, because as human as we are, our proclivity trends towards wanting certainty. I want to know for a fact that things are going to work out. I want to know for a fact that I'm going to be okay. I want to know for a fact that I'm going to make it, that my business is going to survive, that my family is going to thrive. I would like to know for a fact. And the reality of that is that how can we know? And so now we've all found ourselves stuck on this transitory sea that we're in, and we're in the middle of it all, and we feel like we're drifting without a rudder. And we don't know where we're going, but most importantly, it is the waters through which we are going through that are choppy and that are tough and that are murky. And this has brought the fear and the anxiety and the stress into our lives in such a profound way. And I think it is important that we own it in this moment. We have a tendency in our spiritual nature to over-spiritualize a lot of things and glance past or simply touch something that we really need to sit back and own and really articulate and really be honest about, that there is some stuff going on in our lives in this moment. I would like to end. I want it to be over. I want it to be finished. But yet and still, here is where I am. The gap of it all, it is a tense place. It is a tense place because we are in a trackless ocean. We have no compass to be able to navigate where we are. And you can sit back and you can quote the scripture and you can pray the prayer and you can sing the songs, but that is not going to stop the reality of where you are. I know there's power in the word. Don't get it twisted. I know there's power in prayer. Don't get that wrong. I know there's power in praise. You better believe it. But it does not stop the reality of where I am. And that reality is not a vacation. It is not a day at the beach. It is not sitting up in the Four Seasons. It is not a place that any of us want to be. Yet there we are, and there it is. And so I have a couple of options that are in front of me right now. I can choose to go back, or I can choose to go forward. Because you're not going to stay where you are. Can I just interrupt this whole message right now? And I might even mess up my whole preach. It might not even be eloquent. It might not flow anymore because I'm about to make an announcement to you that is going to alter the trajectory of your life. You are not going to stay where you are. You are either going to go backwards or you're going to go forward. And I believe I'm talking to a group of people right now that are determined within their heart, I am going forward. And if that is you, just go ahead and put your hands together and throw them up in that moment and say, God, I thank you for going forward. And after you do that, just type it in the comment section, in the chat section. I'm going forward. My family's going forward. My business is going forward. My marriage is going forward. I am going forward. And even when I don't feel like I'm going forward, I'm going to stretch my mind forward and begin to use the power of my imagination to let everybody know I am not staying here. You can either go backwards or you can go forwards. And if you are choosing to go back, you will spend your entire life avoiding what is ahead. If you choose to go back, your relief will only be temporary. If you choose to go back, what you long for, what you hope for, what you desire, what you search for, you will not find. And that sense of longing for fulfillment will never end. You'll constantly be wondering what's on the other side. And so you can choose to crawl back into your familiar places. You can choose to become a prisoner to what you already know, but you're already out in the middle of this trackless ocean. You're already out in the middle of it all. You're already returning. And so you might as well choose to return to a new place. Oh, you say, Pastor, how can I return to a new place? Can I remind you, you've been there before. You might not have been there physically, but you've been there in your mind. You've been there in your imagination. You've been there in your heart. You've been there in your dreams. You've dreamt about it. You've talked about it. And perhaps you've put it on the back burner. And perhaps you said, well, that time is up. And perhaps you said that moment has passed. And perhaps you said, I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough. And things like that don't happen for people like me. Perhaps that was all of your vocabulary and your language. But can I tell you that is the language of your old season, and you are about to step into something completely new and return to a new place. New doesn't mean in this particular sense that it's young and that it's fresh. It simply means you've never been there before. Regardless of what your age is, you're about to go to a place you've never been before. And isn't it an amazing thing that you can be in your 20s and in your 30s and in your 40s and in your 50s, in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we can all have in common that there are some places we have never been to before. You're about to return to a new place. And so I admonish you, I challenge you, I call you out of that want and that habit of returning back to the familiar, of being a prisoner of the mundane and the status quo. And I say to you that you are in a vehicle that is promising you to get you to a new place. You might not like the vehicle. You might have booked the ticket for it. you might have said to yourself, I do not want to be in this place because it is a liminal paradox. It is the betwixt and between. It is mental and it is emotional and it is physical and it is spiritual, and you are destabilized and you are disoriented, and the old touchstones and habits and the comforts that you used to have are gone, and the future itself is not known to you. And all you want is for it to be over. And so you are impatient and you're hoping that it passed through quickly, but it has not. It hasn't passed through, and it hasn't passed through with the least amount of distress that you was hoping for. It just hasn't happened. But let me ask you a question. What if you can choose this experience, this moment, even though it's uncomfortable? What if you can see this as a place and a state of ultimate creativity, of ultimate construction? What if you can see this as a moment to deconstruct some things so that some other things can be reconstructed? What if you view this as a moment of choice and not a moment of chance? What if you could view this moment as a transformative opportunity for your life? What would happen if you could see the Lord with you, the Holy Spirit comforting you and guiding you and leading you in all truth? What would happen? How vast would the opportunities become? How big would it be? Would you consider that wherever you end up, it's already a blessed place? I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would take place. And even though you haven't chosen, Jonah didn't choose the belly of the whale, but it still took him to an unexpected shore. God has you in a vehicle. He has you in something where you're being led somewhere. And once you get here, you cannot go back. You cannot go back. It's unsettling, but you can't go back. It is discombobulating, but you can't go back. It's downright upsetting to some of us, but we cannot go back. This moment is only here to break you down, but it also offers a choice for you to live in it, to be fiercely alive and free. to be aware to this moment and to know that regardless of how choppy the water is, regardless of how boisterous the thunder, regardless of how unsettling the waves are becoming, God is with you. Oh, can I take another pause right here to tell you that God is with you? In this very moment, for the Bible says that when we get to this place in the scripture, they talk about everything that happened at the Red Sea, and they talk about all of their distresses in the wilderness. But when they start talking about the return, they said, we're going to get into these ships and we're going to do business on great waters. But when we begin to do business on great waters, we're going to see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. But when we begin to see his works and his wonders, something happens. The wind shows up. But we never, ever consider for one moment that the wind that we're witnessing is his work. Oh, I'm talking good right now. And I know it just got quiet. I know we're virtual, but I can feel the silence. We never view hindrances as help. We never view wind as God's work. Lord have mercy. It was Elijah who was trying to get his courage back and to get his energy back after worrying about Jezebel taking his life. And God called him into a cave, and he passed by the cave, and he passed by the cave in a whirlwind. Lord have mercy. And he passed by in fire and all these different places. And he also passed by in the still small voice. Can I tell you, God was in all of it? For the Bible says he passed by in the wind and he passed by in the fire. It was simply that Elijah could hear the still small voice because he could not discern that God was in the wind and in the fire. He's in it all. And the Bible tells us right here that it is the Lord that commands and raises the stormy wind. My God, this thing, I'm not even to our principles yet, but I feel a preaching. I'm really trying to teach. I'm sitting down. I'm trying to keep my calm. I'm trying to keep my cool because there's some principles I want you to get, but I feel this thing down in my spirit that God commands the wind. And if you can see him in the wind, then you wouldn't worry as much as you are. He knows how much to blow your boat. My God, I feel like preaching. He knows how much water your ship can take. He will never place on you more than you can bear. He's trying to bring you to your wit's end. He's bringing you to the end of yourself. He's bringing you to the place where you can discover him. And everything that happens after you coming to your wit's end, it's a blessing. But being at your wit's end is troubling. Being at your wit's end means that you can see no way out, that you don't know how it's going to work out. That there's a wonderful definition about being at the wit's end, and I want to make sure that I get it right and that I explain it to you in a way that you can begin to understand properly what I'm talking about. We've all heard people say, I'm at my wit's end. We've all heard individuals talk about that. But when you're at your wit's end, it means to be so worried, confused, or annoyed that you do not know what to do next. I want to say that again. It means to be so worried, so confused, or annoyed that you do not know what to do next. Oh, glory to God. You don't know what to do next. You don't know what the next right thing is. And when you don't know what the next right thing is, what you have to do is the next right thing. I know that sounds like I'm twisting my words, but I'm really not. You might not know what the big thing to do is, but you know some things that you have to take care of. It's like somebody being in financial debt and they feel overwhelmed by the debt. But you do have some money that you can pay on one of the credit cards. That's the next right thing. I might not be able to take care of it all, but I can take care of something. There is something that you can do in this moment so that you can take ownership of it and don't feel powerless. For you to feel powerless is to say that you are not human. Power is innate in the human spirit. The fact that you're still alive means that you got power because you, my friend, my brother, my sister, have the capacity to think and to choose. And God said, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. It's up to you. Make a choice. You can do something. You can do something. And so the next right thing, even though you don't know what the next thing is, you can do the next right thing. There's something that you can do. And so the Bible says that he commands the stormy wind and he lifts up the waters that mount up to the heaven and they go down again to the depths and their soul melts because of the trouble. Yeah, this is not a bad thing that my soul is melting. I'm coming to my wit's end. I'm coming to the end of myself. And the end of myself is always going to lead me to the beginning of God. The end of my wisdom, of my wise domain, of my acumen, of my pedigree, of all that I can accomplish, I can't get done what he can get done. He's got manifold wisdom. My wisdom might not be peaceable. The Bible says the wisdom that comes from God is first peaceable. My wisdom might be an overreaction to something that is simply transitory, but I might make a permanent decision in a temporary circumstance that might disrupt my entire life forever. But God knows just the right amount of disruption to bring me to my wit's end where I'm simply not knowing what is next, but then I have to lean on him. When I come to my wit's end, I come to the beginning of him where I start trusting in him with all of my heart and stop leaning so much on my own understanding. I can lean on it, but it will only last for a certain amount of time. The Bible doesn't say don't lean on your understanding. Don't use your understanding. It's saying don't count on it forever. And all that getting, get understanding. But the understanding that you get, you don't need to try to use to construct something that might simply be transitory, temporary. It's like trying to build a house on the scaffolding that's building the building. Whatever you erect on the scaffolding, it is going to come down when the scaffolding come down because the scaffolding is not the building. It is the support structure that is temporary, helping the individuals that's building the building. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so he says their souls begin to melt like trouble. They reel to and fro. They stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. I pray this morning that you're coming to the end. Because the end is only the beginning. And there are some principles that I want you to have because God is about to calm the storm. My God, I feel the Lord in here. He's about to calm the storm in your life. And when the storm is calm, you're going to be able to see your way forward. But there's going to be a tug in your heart and in your mind to go back. And I'm trying to tell you, don't you do it. Not for one second. And so the waves are about to become still. And you ought to take a moment as you stand at the intersection of grief and gratitude and say, I'm going to be thankful for where I'm headed. Yes, I'm grieving the fact that there are some things I'll never be able to return to. And I enjoyed them and they were great. Some relationships I had that are now not what they used to be. I thank God for them. They were good and they were great, but it's time to move on. Some places that I used to go, I thank God for them. They were good. They were great, but now it's time for me to move on. Some mindsets that I had, they might have served me in the past, but they don't work in this return to a new place. They don't work where God has taken me. I thank God for them, but I'm going somewhere else. And so I'm grateful for everything I have gone through. I am grateful and thankful for all the experiences and encounters that I had. And there is a moment of grief there where I have to lament, where I have to be sorrowful about who, the individuals that I might not talk to as frequently, or the places that I used to go that are no longer a part of my life. That's part of it. But I am going somewhere forward, and I don't have to divorce my gratitude from my grief. Oh, they can be in the same space at the same time. As a matter of fact, the more and more I lean into the gratitude, the more it's going to help me with the grief. And so now I find myself in a moment where the storm is about to be over. And this is important because you can create and develop an entire identity, an entire lifestyle, an entire way of being from the storms you have been in. So much so that you cannot cope with the new reality of where you're about to go. And so the tacking that needs to take place, what is tacking? When you're in a ship, when you're in a storm, when you're in a boat, tacking simply means, in a nautical sense, it says it's to modify or to make adjustments abruptly. It is to modify your policy or your attitude abruptly. When you're navigating something, it means that you're making unexpected changes and you're finding unexpected pathways to your desired destination. I just said a thing and maybe you missed it, but I'm going to give you a moment to praise God over it right now. I just said to you that you're finding unexpected pathways to your desired destination. What that means is that you have embraced the risk, but you're still going to receive the prize. It means that I didn't know I was going this way, but I still got to where God said I was going to be. I didn't know that this path was going to open up, but I still made it to the place that God had destined for my life. I had no clue that this turn was going to show up, that this detour was going to be there, that there would be this many delays, but I am still going to arrive at my destination. That is a moment to give God glory. I didn't know it would look like this, but I'm still going to make it to my destination. I want to give you 30 seconds just to thank God that you're going to make it to your destination. And so now it's all about navigating your way there. And there are some things that I need you to understand, that I want you to know, that I want you to have as principles in your life as it relates to this moment. Because we're talking about the old chapters and the next chapters and what the rest of your life is going to look like. And so there are some things, some principles as we try to navigate, as one author always says it so eloquently, the nowhere between two somewheres. I say the somewhere between two nowheres, and it's the same thing. I don't know quite where I'm at. But I know where I want to go, and I know where I've been. I'm at my wit's end. And when you're at your wit's end, there are some things that you got to do. There's some principles that you got to have in your life. And I want to give some of those principles to you. And it's all related to your belief. It's all tied and connected to your belief. And that belief has to be put to work. And so the first principle, I want you to write this down. I'm taking my time. I'm sitting down. I want you to get this in your spirit. You have to put your belief to work. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Faith without work is dead. And so in this moment, when you put your belief to work, you have to suspend your disbelief long enough to step outside of yourself into a new place of promise. Did you hear what I said? Did you get that down? You have to suspend your disbelief long enough. Why suspend? Why not just totally obliterate it? Because human nature is to be suspicious. And so you're suspicious about where you're headed because the route has changed. It's been altered. The storm has come. And so there's a proclivity to cling to the safe and to the familiar. But you cannot cling to the safe and the familiar and expect anything new in your life. You cannot cling to the safe and the familiar and expect change to happen. Change is a choice. Now, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. Somebody stay with me. Change is inevitable, and it's going to happen whether you want it to happen or not, but it is a choice for you to embrace it. And so the change is not your enemy, and you have to view that it's not your enemy. Now, I'm not here to suggest to you that all change is good, but I am here to suggest that there is a holy curiosity that you should have in this moment, that the ship God has you in, though it might have experienced some turbulent waters, it is taking you somewhere. And if you remember the context in which we are preaching this text, the ship that the people are in are returning them home after a protracted season of difficulty called the exile. And now they're going back to Jerusalem, but they're not going back to normal. And it is a season where they're going to have to rebuild, where they're going to have to uproot, where they're going to have to plant, where they're going to have to sow, where they're going to have to see that it might not be what it used to be. But I feel my help coming in this moment. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. It might not be what it used to be, but it's going to be a lot better than what I thought it was going to be. It's going to be a lot bigger than what I thought it was going to be. And it's already blessed. Whatever the place is that you're about to return to, the one that you saw in your imagination, the one that you saw in your dreams, can I tell you that it is bigger than what you think it is? It is better than what you think it is. And it's already blessed. Hallelujah. You have to put your belief to work. And in order to put your belief to work, you have to suspend your belief long enough. Long enough. Now, there are all types of belief systems, all different kinds. And one of those belief systems I want to talk about in this moment, because I don't want you to be nihilistic. Nihilism is a viewpoint that says that it's meaningless. All life is meaningless. It is an icy, cold belief system that says that regardless of what you do, it doesn't matter. It holds the viewpoint that traditional values and beliefs are unfounded and that they're senseless and useless. It is a dogma. It is a doctrine that denies objective truth or moral truth. Nihilistic. I don't want you to become that type of individual that says it doesn't matter what I do, all of my outcomes are the same. It doesn't matter what happens because all is lost. It's tied and connected to fatalism. And it makes your worst case scenario seem inevitable. And I want to cut that thing off at the root. I want to tell you and explain to you that the God that we serve is so awesome that you ought not to panic because your life looks a little chaotic right now. I know I sound like a broken record and you've heard me say this over and over again, but the God that we serve can take the chaos and make it a canvas. You need to know that. And so as you are starting to put your belief to work, I want you to do something prophetically in this moment and say hello to the rest of your life. I want you to introduce yourself to your future and say, hey, future, how are you doing? You're looking good. I want you to say hello to the rest of your life because I'm here to tell you it is not going to go down the way the enemy thought, and it is not going to go down the way the enemy in your mind thought it was going to go down. It is not going to go down the way your worst fears and your worst nightmares have projected in your heart and in your mind. No, it is not. It is going to go the way God designed for it to go. Put your belief to work. One of the reasons why, here's the second principle. One of the reasons why you have to put your belief to work is because when you put your belief to work, it deconstructs the barriers that you've held up while you were in the storm. Yes. When you're in survival mode, you erect walls and you erect barriers. And you cloister yourself in their environment because you're just simply trying to make it so that when the sea is calm, when it's over, you're still traumatized by the experience. And you might turn back. The storm itself pushed you away, so far away from your familiar shore on purpose. Because it had to create distance between your knowledge and God's wisdom. Oh, I'm talking good right now. There is a stark contrast between knowledge and wisdom. And most of us operate in knowledge and we do so without wisdom. Knowledge is a what question. Wisdom is a how. And the reason we operate in knowledge is because we don't know how. And if you're going to step into a wise domain, you have to step into the wisdom of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask God. But you have to ask with no doubt. and you cannot ask amiss. That's what James says. And so you're asking how, or you want to know how, Lord have mercy, but it is not really your job to know how. God knows how. Knowledge keeps you busy, which incidentally keeps you barren. My God, I'm preaching right now. Knowledge is not enough. Because without the wisdom, you don't know how to apply what it is that you know. And so a good captain, a good person that's navigating a ship in a storm is going to know I have to tack. That means that my sail can't be up. I have to make adjustments for the sail. I have to bring it down and I have to put it back up because I'm being blown off course and I have to do some tacking here so that the wind, when the wind blows, I learn how to use the wind for my advantage. I can't sail against the wind. I got to get the wind at my back. So I got to get the boat in a position, my God, where the wind can be at my back. Can I stop for a moment and tell you, you're about to shift from knowledge to wisdom, and instead of trying to work what it is that you know, you're going to use God's wisdom and say, since you're blowing the wind, I'm going to get the wind at my back. And there's a shift happening in your life at this very moment, that what was working against you is now about to turn and start working for you. Can I just preach to somebody right now? Everything that was working against you is about to make a shift, and God's about to blow a wind at your back, and it's going to start working for you. You're shifting from knowledge to wisdom, and the barriers that you have erected are all coming down. You don't have to block the wind. You have to be wise enough to know how to use it. My God, I just said something. I hope you're tweeting that. I hope you're sharing that. I hope you're telling somebody about it. You don't have to block the wind. You simply have to have enough wisdom to know how to use it. If it's blowing that much wind, my God, put up something that knows how to harness it. Put up something that can be sustainable and create energy over your life. If it's blowing that much wind, learn how to turn your ship and use it to your advantage. This is what this text is all about. About an old chapter and a new chapter and the rest of my life. It's about putting my beliefs to work. It's about tearing down the barriers that I have built up in my life. And it's about bringing me to the conclusion that I am going to arrive where God said I'm supposed to be blessed. I'm going to get to my desired haven, and I'm going to be blessed when I get there. By the way, I was blessed on my way because the storm didn't take me out. And can I just pause for a moment to remind you that the pandemic didn't take you out, that the layoffs didn't take you out, that the cutbacks didn't take you out, that the shortage didn't take you out. It might have been upsetting. It might have been frustrating. It might have been hurtful. You might have suffered some loss, but it didn't take you out. And now we're entering into a moment of calm. And as we're coming out of the storm and the calm is showing up, God sent me to tell you, He brought you to your wit's end for a purpose. And that purpose was so that you can choose to go forward and say to yourself, I am not turning back. And whatever is ahead of me, it is already blessed. Because God has already went ahead of me and made every crooked place straight. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. And if you know that the Lord has been good to you, This is a moment to give him thanks and to give him praise for the blessing that you are about to go into. And as I close down this message, God brought you to your wit's end, not for you to worry, but for you to get to the place to see the wonder of his hand, to see how awesome he truly is, to see that he can bring you somewhere that you thought that you would never get to. But baby, now you are about to arrive. And when you arrive, you are arriving at a destination that is already blessed. That the moment you step your foot on the shore of an unexpected place, you're stepping into an ordered place. You're stepping into a blessed place. You're stepping into a larger territory. You're stepping into a prominent space. Regardless of your status, regardless of what strata you're at, regardless of your pedigree, you're still stepping into a prominent place. You're stepping into a place that people said you would never get to. You're stepping into a place that your haters and your critics hope that you would never arrive at, but you're stepping nonetheless. And can you, in this prophetic moment, just take a step out of whatever you've been held in, a step out of whatever you thought would never end, a step out of whatever you thought would take you out, and take one big step and say, the next place I step is a blessed place. The next place I step is a wealthy place. The next place I step is a peaceful place. The next place I step is a healed place, because I've come out of my wit's end and stepped into the wisdom of God. That now when stuff starts working against me, I know how to make it work. I know how to use it, because I heard the writer say that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter that it came up against me. No weapon formed against me can prosper, but I can show the world how my God makes the weapon work on my behalf. You're stepping into new territory. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Do you not know it? And wherever you find yourself, it may be your wit's end. But that's not a bad place, because God is not the author of confusion. And you might be confused and you might be confounded about what to do next, but God knows. And if you would tear down the barriers that you erected in your heart and in your mind, that have built in your brain, that it has to be this way, it has to go down that way, I had to go that way, it had to look like this. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. What difference does it make of how you get, as long as it's legal, what difference does it make of how you get to $1 million or $100,000 or the business you want or whatever it looks like? Take money off the table. What difference does it make that you get to a healthy family, a whole life, a place of fulfillment? The route doesn't matter. The route is the route. The path is the path. Regardless of what it looked like, it's still going to get me there. If you took a train to California, or a plane to California, or a bicycle, or a car, or you walked, guess what? At some point, you're going to get there if you keep going. That's all I'm trying to say. And you might be at your wit's end because of the vehicle that you're in. But if you keep going, you're going to make it. You're going to get there. So don't let your wit's end cause you to turn back. Because if you do, you'll only experience what you already have. I want to pray for you right now. And I want to call some people. into a place of wisdom, where you will stop trying to fight the storm or rebuke it, but learn how to use it. There's some storms that you do want to rebuke. Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still." But then there's some storms he'll bring you to your wits' end, where you then have to step out of your ship and walk in territory you never thought possible. Peter did it. But that goal is not for you just to step out. It's for you to step back into what you were in and change the trajectory of everybody that was in it with you. My God, do you hear me? Because when Peter stepped back in the boat, the Bible says immediately they made it to the shore. The difference was Jesus was with them this time. Hallelujah. And he showed them how to use the wind and the wave to get to where they wanted to go. He just waited till they got to their wits' end of rowing and rowing and rowing. Coming to your wits' end is the beginning of God's wisdom. It's where you let go of your knowledge. And you begin to say, "Okay, God, I've learned some things. You've taught me some things. But let me step into your wisdom. And let me learn how to use what I use to qualify as a hindrance. Now it's help. The wind I used to worry about, the waves I used to worry about, I saw those as hindrances, but now they're help. Because I know when I put my belief to work, I'm not going to die in this storm. Oh, my God. I know when I put my belief to work that this is just passing by. I know when I put my belief to work that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You'll be with me to the very end. I know when I put my belief to work that you're a very present help in the time of trouble. I know. And so now I'll step from what I know into your wisdom, and I'll start looking for what to do next based on your wisdom. That I can use the wind and I can use the wave to get me to my desired destination. I want to pray for you that as the storm calms, as the wind stops blowing, that you don't choose to go backwards, but you choose to go forward. Father, I thank you for every person that have heard this message, will hear this message, that they receive this as a mandate to move forward. That regardless of how intriguing, regardless of how good backwards looks, that forward, though unknown, would be their choosing. I thank you, Father, in this very moment, that every individual under the sound of my voice is making a decision, meaning they're cutting off old habits and old mindsets in relationships and things that would keep them stuck where they are. And they are stepping out of stuck, Father. They're stepping out of everything that would hinder them, that would hold them back. And they're using all of the forces that are arrayed against them for their good. Because what the enemy meant for evil, Father, you worked out for our good. I thank you right now for that level of tenacity in their spirit, that boldness of the Holy Ghost would rise up and they'll declare that every aspect of my life is moving forward. I'm moving forward spiritually. I'm moving forward mentally. I'm moving forward emotionally. I'm moving forward financially. I am moving forward. And I thank you, Father God, that as we do, we give you praise and we give you glory And we give you honor for keeping us in the situations that we're in, that they didn't engulf us, that they didn't envelop us to the point where we were consumed. We thank you for your mercy in this moment. And we give you praise for where we're about to go next. Because regardless of the path we're on, we are going to get to our destination. And we thank you that as we step out into it, your blessing is already upon it. That we can maximize the moment and the time that we have left to do exploits, to tell the world of the wonders that we've seen, of a God that's still a miracle working God, of a God that loves them, died for them. I thank you, Father God, that every aspect of our lives will be a witness in this earth. And we'll let the world know, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? And so we come to our wits' end to step into your wisdom. We put our belief to work in this moment. And we tear down every barrier that have incarcerated us, kept us back, stopped us from moving forward. Because we realize that wherever we are about to end up, it is a blessed place. I thank you, Father God, for that. And I pray your people receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Man, I tell you what, I feel like running and shouting and dancing and jumping. And I had to reserve myself and sit in this seat and teach this message to you. I pray it was a blessing to you. I pray it unlocked some things, some answers that you were looking for. I pray that God illuminated this word by his spirit and brought you to a place of revelation, wisdom, and knowledge, that you can begin to operate as the seas calm and say, I'm moving forward. I thank God that he brought us this word today. Would you continue to consider to be a blessing to this ministry? You know, I'm so thankful as my mentor, my bishop, my pastor, my spiritual father has so eloquently said, don't drop the mic. And I'm so thankful to God that through this storm, this ministry, this church has not dropped the mic. No, we have not been able to do everything we would love to do, but we have continued to preach the gospel. We've continued to feed the hungry. We've continued to provide for those who are in need. And we've been able to do that because of your giving. Thank you to every person who have been faithful over this last year to continue to sow, even though we're virtual, because you understand the biblical principles. You understand seed time and harvest, and you understand that your giving is as unto the Lord. Thank you so much. For all of you who are watching, would you consider to continue to sow if you have been? And if you have not been, take a moment and get seed in the ground. I believe, and this thing is still on me, that almost is about to be broken over your life. Said it a week ago. I said it last week when you heard the message over again, and I'll say it this week. Almost is broken over your life. I want you to get a seed on that word. I'm telling you, don't miss this God-given opportunity to do so. You almost got the deal. You almost got the degree. They almost called you back for the interview. Almost is broken over your life. You're going to make it to your destination. But it always requires sacrifice. And so invest in what you believe. When you put your belief to work, you have to make an investment in it. And your seed is an investment in the kingdom. So get that seed in the ground. What you could do, you can text Give KLC to 73256. You can pick up your phone right now and text those words, Give KLC, to that number, 73256. When you do, all the giving prompts will go up. You can go online, www.thekingdomlife.com, and you can give on that platform. You can download our church app on Google or iTunes and give there. Or you can mail it physically into the ministry. However you choose to do it as unto the Lord. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Not just in finances, but in immeasurable ways in your life. I know that principle of giving works because it has worked in my life. Get that seed in the ground and watch God do some wonders in your life. Again, I pray that this message touch you and bless you. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. And I will see you next week.